Well, good morning. Last couple weeks, we have been, well, it's actually been longer than that, last couple months, we've been going through a series here at Grace called The Doctrines of the Church. What do we as a church believe and why do we believe it? Last week, we gave an introduction to the doctrine of soteriology. Now, who remembers what soteriology? No, never mind, I'm going to ask that question. Because then you guys have to admit, Pastor, I was sleeping. All right, never mind. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Okay, and we set a framework last week for the doctrine of salvation. We talked about why we as a church believe what we believe in regards to the doctrine of salvation. Today, we're going to take a look at what that is. What is the salvation message? What is the gospel? Why is that important to us? The mission at Grace Baptist Church is to make mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We want to make mature followers of Jesus Christ. And so this presentation today, this sermon today, is really going to tell you what our heart is, what the key message is for us as a church. Before we begin, let's open up with prayer. Lord, we come to you today grateful for the many things you've done for us. Lord, this week is Valentine's Day week. And I know it's not just coincidence that you would have this sermon fall on this week, because here we are talking about the love that you have for us and how you showed that love for us. And Lord, as we look at these passages today, I pray that you give us wisdom. Lord, open our hearts. May we be receptive to the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is an interesting question. When you sit and think about everything that's happened this week, I mean, I was talking to a couple from the church here, and they had, I think, two funerals to go to this week, and we had so many people pass away this week that we know. And to sit there and think about it, you know, life is short. It really is. You know, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 said, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. We know that death comes. We know that. We're all going to face death. That's the reality of the physical life we live, right? We are, every single one of us, going to face death. And so the question is, what happens after death? What happens? And for some of us, we have this question, why should God let me into heaven? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? And maybe you're wondering that very thing, but hopefully by the time we're done today, you will know why and how, why God should let you in and how you can know for sure that you're going to be there. That's the key for this. The central idea is this. Someday we're all going to face God. All of us, we're all going to face God. The Bible tells us very clearly how we can answer him if he asks a question. Why should I let you into heaven? That's something we should all have settled now, right? Because there's coming a time it's going to be too late. So we should all have this settled now. As I said, we're talking about the gospel today. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news concerning Christ and the way of salvation. It is the good news concerning Christ and the way of salvation. Now, the interesting thing about the gospel is that the gospel is full of good news, bad news, worse news, and then better news. Okay, and I'm going to communicate that to you today. We're going to look at that briefly. But the gospel is good news, bad news, worse news, and better news. Okay, and that's going to make sense to you in a little bit. In your bulletins, you'll have an outline in there if you want to follow along. Don't feel like you have to, but if you want to, there's an outline in there, a few things for you to fill in a little bit. I've got most of it filled in for you, but there's some fill-in-the-blanks there if you want to follow along with us. So, Grace Baptist Church, here's what we believe. We believe, and this is right out of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We believe that those who accept Christ as Savior and Lord will rejoice forever in God's presence, and those who refuse to accept Christ as Savior and Lord will be condemned to eternal punishment in hell. That's what we believe. We as a church, you want to know what we as a church believe about salvation? That's what we believe. The crux of that matter is down here at the bottom where it says we believe that those who accept Christ as Savior and Lord will rejoice forever in God's presence. Those who refuse to accept Christ as Savior and Lord will be condemned to eternal punishment in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we believe. A couple years ago, well, actually, it's been a year and a half ago now, I gave a little presentation to the Awana kids called the Crosstalk. And Brian, if you want to pull that up for us. The Crosstalk is a little presentation put together by a group called Eventel out of Dallas. And they sent all these graphics to me, and they said, you know what, Pastor, you can use it all, just make sure we're credited with it. And so they let me use all these things. They gave these to me for free. And what it is just a basic gospel presentation for kids, right? But it tells you exactly what the gospel is. So we're going to do that today. It falls in this series. We're going to do that. And then just to give you a little heads up, we're having an Awana Sunday next month in March. We're going to bring in all the Awana kids. And we'll be showing this presentation again so that the parents know, what are you teaching my kids? This is what we're teaching your kids. But today, as we as a church, what is the gospel? This is what the gospel is today. First off, the first thing you got to know is that God loves you. We got to know that, right? That's the good news about the gospel, is that God loves you. And it's fitting for Valentine's Day, isn't it? We've been singing songs about how much God loves us. And the Bible says that God loves us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now that's interesting. It's not just some of the world, it's the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The first thing you got to know is that God loves you very, very much. He loves you. He created you to be with him forever, but there is a big problem. All right? So now we get to the bad news of the gospel. We know that God loves us. That's the good news. The bad news of the gospel is that there's a problem. What's that problem? That problem is this. It's called sin. Now you sit there and think, you know what, Pastor, sin's kind of a bad word. Who really talks about that anymore? Well, the Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about it a lot. Because the Bible talks about it, we want to talk about it. All right, Romans chapter 3, 23 says this. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now the emphasis here is this, the word all. I told you guys a few weeks ago how I met a guy who believed that he kept every single commandment and he's never once in his life had he sinned. Okay? And I said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to believe God over you. Okay? And in your life right now, I don't know where you are. You may be sitting here thinking, well, you know, that really doesn't describe me. I think I'm a pretty good guy. Well, if you think back, or if you give me your parents' phone number, okay, I'm sure we could come up with some examples of at least one where you didn't quite do what you were supposed to do. And what's a sin? Well, a sin is anything you think, say, or do that does not please God. That's what a sin is. So whether it's disobeying your mom and dad as a kid, lying to them, not doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, being disruptive in class, at school, or now as an adult, the different things we do, driving 1 mile an hour over the speed limit is breaking the government commands, breaking the laws of the government. And God said we're to follow the laws of the government. Even that is considered a sin in God's eyes. You know, I know there's a little cringing going on in there. I apologize, people. I'm with you. I'll tell you, having kids has slowed me down, but I'm not perfect on this one, right? So it's easy for me to see that, yep, that's me. I'm a sinner. Good news, God loves me. Bad news is I've messed up. That's in reality. Bad news, I'm a sinner. God is perfect, and we are not. We've all disobeyed God and broken his rules, and the Bible calls that sin. God is a holy God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says God is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And for God to stay holy, he cannot be around unholy beings. And so my sin, what's my sin done? This is the worst news. It has separated me from God. It's put a great chasm between us. I'm on one side and God is on the other side. There's a separation between me and God. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages, the thing that we have earned because of our actions, is death. Now, physical death, yes. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, physical death entered the world. But there's also a spiritual death, a separation from God. Now, I want you to realize that spiritual death does not mean that when you die, when we cease living on this earth, that our soul ceases to live. It does not. Our soul lives forever. It does. Our soul will never die. But our soul is going to go to one of two places, either into God's presence or away from God's presence. And away from God's presence is eternal punishment. In God's presence is paradise, the New Jerusalem, heaven. There are a lot of different words that we use for these things. And that's what it is to be in God's presence. So our sin has caused a division between us and God. That's what the Bible teaches. My sin has caused death. So we got the good news that God loves me. The bad news, right? I'm a sinner. The worst news is because I'm a sinner, I can't be with God. That's the reality. That's what the Bible teaches. We've all disobeyed God, and we deserve to be punished forever. That means we cannot be with God because of our sin. But God loves you so much that what? He gave an answer for this problem. And this is the best news. This is the better news. You got the good news, bad news, worst news, and then the best news of all is that God provided an answer for this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why would he do that? He died for us so that we could be declared right. My grandfather raised sheep. We lived just a mile from his farm. Grew up helping my grandpa raise sheep. Every now and then, you'd have a lamb, right? You'd have a lamb that would be rejected by her mom. Okay, and so you have this extra lamb around there. You didn't know what to do with it, and so you try to bottle feed it. Well, then another ewe would give birth, and her lamb would die. And so what did you do? You took the skin off the one that was dead. They really do this. Take the skin off the one that was dead, and then you put it over the lamb that was alive, and the ewe would take the one then because it smelled like hers that had died, and she would take it, and she would give it life. And that is a perfect example of what Christ did for us, because when he died, his death covers us. And so when God looks at us who place our faith in Christ, he does not see us, he sees his son. We are still the same underneath, but we are now declared right in God's eyes because his son's death now covers us. The blood of his son covers us. God shows his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. God made a way for you to be with him forever. God sent his son Jesus down on the cross to take your punishment. 3 days later, Jesus came back to life to prove that God accepted what he did in your place. Christ died. He was buried, and then he rose again on the third day. All of that according to scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this to us. We know that these things happen. So then what do we do? Well, this is the crux of it right here. We have a choice now. At Grace Baptist, we believe you can choose to accept or you can choose to reject. The reality is, we all have a choice. God's word says we have a choice. John, the book of John, 92 times says, believe, believe, believe. You have a choice to make. John 5:24 says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says these words. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. According to Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. This verse right here, if I'm a believer in Christ, I skip that judgment. I don't have to go to that judgment. I don't have to. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says that my iniquities have separated me from God. Once my iniquities are forgiven, there's no more separation from God. If I believe in Jesus as my Savior, then I am declared right in God's eyes. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's all you got to do is believe. That's what it comes down to. We have a choice to make. We have a choice. All of us have a choice. The question is, are you going to make that choice? I can't make it for you. Nobody else can make it for you. This is really your decision. And here at Grace, when we teach the kids in Awana and in Sunday school and the adults here during the service, we teach you guys have a choice. It comes down to whatever you guys want to do. It's up to you. But this is what God's word says. You may say, Pastor, I don't believe what you're saying. And well, that's up to you. But not believing the truth doesn't change the truth, does it? Right? Everybody talks about this new Common Core curriculum, right? And, you know, all the different things and how it changes things. And it's not what it used to be. Well, you can get an A because you solved the problem, and even though you didn't get the right answer, right? And that's not completely true, but that's sometimes what they feel like, right? Well, we know that 2 plus 2 is 4, even if you want 2 plus 2 to be 5, right? It doesn't change, does it? Truth is truth regardless of how you perceive it. It's still truth. And right now, these Bible verses, this is exactly from God's word. And we at Grace, we believe God's word is true in its entirety, as it is written. Everything that God says is true. And so these words right here, they should be a challenge to us, but also an encouragement to us, right? Because we have a way of taking care of this problem. All you got to do is believe. And you think, well, how do I do that? I apologize for the small text on this one. It should have enlarged it for you. So what you do is you trust in Jesus alone as the only one who can give you the gift of life with God forever. And then there's a sample prayer here that Eventel put on. And I'm not going to say that you have to do a specific prayer. You don't have to do a specific prayer. You don't have to do any song and dance. You don't have to give money to the church. You don't even have to come to church. The Bible doesn't teach you have to come to church to be justified. That might be part of the sanctification process and growing. But you don't have to come to church to be justified, to be declared right. All you have to do is believe. The sample prayer that they had is, Dear God, I've broken your rules. I've sinned. Thank you for letting Jesus take my punishment so I can be forgiven. I trust Christ alone as the one who just gave me life with you forever. I'm going to paraphrase that. God, I'm a sinner. God, I recognize today I'm a sinner. And God, I'm asking you to forgive me for my sins because of what your son Jesus did for me on the cross. And when you do that, when you place your faith in Christ like that, when you ask him to forgive you, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All you have to do is believe. Just come down to God. You know what? You're right. I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. God, would you forgive me today? And I'm not going to do this little invitation. We're going to all sing up, do 95 verses just as I am until somebody comes forward, okay? Don't freak out. I mean, we're not going to do any of that. But I am going to give you a challenge. You can do that where you're sitting right now. You can right now. You don't even have to bow your head. You don't even have to close your eyes. Nobody needs to know, but you can just say in your mind, God, you know what? Your word is true, and I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. And you can do that right now. The only thing I would ask is that if you do that today, if today's the first time you've done that, that when we're leaving today, that you find me and you just say, today I became a child of God. That's all I ask you to do, is just let me know so that I can celebrate with you, because that's a huge thing, isn't it? That's a huge thing. And I'd love to know about that and celebrate that with you, okay? So if you choose to do that today, you just let me know and we're going to rejoice together, all right? And then at some point, if you want to continue on in your walk and grow and become more like Christ, then we'll help you with that. But today the big thing is, are you willing to believe the gospel? Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead. That's the gospel in 10 words. Christ died for my sins and rose from the dead. Do you believe that is true? Do you believe that's true? So then the question for us is what happens then once I place my faith, whoops, went